Finally, in this session, let us consider the capital gains tax position on the disposal of an interest in possession. If an individual has a right to income from a trust, he or she has a valuable asset for CGT purposes. The life tenant, assuming he is not prohibited from doing so within the trust instrument, may then be free to sell his right to income. After the sale, the new purchaser will thereafter be entitled to the annual income of the trust. Certain settlements, called protective trusts, are created in such a way that a life tenant is prohibited from trying to dispose of his right to income. Under a protective trust arrangement, if a life tenant makes an attempt to sell their interest in possession, the trust thereafter becomes a discretionary trust. Under Section 76 of TCGA 1992, if a life tenant disposes of his interest in possession, any gain is not chargeable to CGT. This general rule will not apply where the original interest in possession was acquired by the life tenant for money or money's worth. Therefore, a life tenant will only have a capital gain on the sale of an interest in possession if he or she had bought the interest for valuable consideration in the first place. Anti-avoidance rules were introduced in Finance Act 2000 to block elaborate avoidance schemes which relied on the application of Section 76. Consequently, the exemption for disposals of interests in possession does not apply if the trust is, or ever has been, non-UK resident. As we have mentioned, if the settlor thinks there is a possibility that the life tenant will try to sell his or her interest in possession, he can guard against this by declaring that the trustees shall hold the assets on protective trust. There are two practice questions to complete this session. The death of the life tenant in November 2010 causes there to be a deemed disposal of all trust assets at market value. This is because the trust was created before the 22nd of March 2006, so the trust's assets are settled property. The only assets in the trust were the XYZ Limited shares, which were worth £200,000 at the date of the life tenant's death. From this, we deduct the base cost of the shares. The shares were acquired by the trustees at their market value of £220,000. However, on the creation of the trust, a capital gain of £160,000 was held over. The base cost of the shares is therefore £60,000, giving a deemed gain on James's death of £140,000. This gain is chargeable, but is restricted to the level of any gains held over on the creation of the trust. The gain held over when the shares were settled into the trust was £160,000. The chargeable gain on the death of the life tenant is the lower of these two gains, being £140,000. The requirement in the question is to calculate the base cost of the XYZ Limited shares in the hands of the remainder man. When James died, the shares passed to Michael as remainder man with a base cost equal to their market value, i.e. £200,000. However, as this is a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes, gift relief can be claimed under Section 260. In this case, the trustee's gain, i.e. £140,000, can be rolled over and deducted from Michael's base cost. Michael therefore acquires the shares with a base cost of £60,000. Let us go through which of the assets on the previous page qualified for gift relief. A gift of quoted shares by a discretionary trust will qualify for gift relief. A distribution of any asset by a discretionary trust will be a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes. Therefore, gift relief is available under Section 260. A gift of farmland by a settlor to an interest in possession trust created before the 22nd of March 2006 would also have qualified for gift relief. The transfer to the interest in possession trust was not a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes. However, under Section 165, gifts of agricultural property will qualify for gift relief. The gift of shares by a bereaved minors trust to a beneficiary will qualify for gift relief. The shares are not a business asset, so Section 165 will not apply.
However, even though the distribution is not a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes, special relief is available under Section 260, subsection 2DA, for appointments from a bereaved minor's trust. We know that a deemed disposal arises on the death of a life tenant of an interest in possession trust created before the 22nd of March 2006.
In the case where the property passes to the son as remainderman, gift relief will be available to defer the gain. This is because the death of the life tenant will be a chargeable transfer for IHT purposes, so gift relief can be claimed under Section 260. Finally, a gift of shares in an unquoted trading company to an overseas trust will not qualify for gift relief. As a general principle, the revenue will only permit a gift relief claim where the donee is resident in the UK. Transfers to overseas trusts will therefore be chargeable in full, with no possibility of deferring the gain. This concludes this session on further aspects of capital gains tax and UK trusts.